City to city, state to state, worldwide, you're listening to the In the Zone Network.
The following program does contain language that some might find objectionable. Parental discretion is advised. How rude of me. Chitota.
Hey, this is Erica Fernandez, your girl, Curls in Sports, and this is the Part Check Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Price Check Podcast here on the In the Zone Network, where we go city to city, state to state, worldwide. Man, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been, man.
It's been a while. Great to see you in studio today. We just got off of a nice cut here with the living legend himself, Parham Alexander, on the In the Zone show, talking some NBA. Did a little bit of a round the world action, going around the league.
Yeah, you did.
This episode of the Price Check won't be we're here for a good time, not a long time. We are solely dialed in on everything trade deadline here in the NBA.
Everything been going by so fast.
It's been, you know, crazy start to 2022. It's been a great NBA season so far. Of course, here very soon we'll get a chance to kind of run through, you know, more storylines in the league, but wanted to focus primarily on the trade deadline today because focusing on the trade deadline allows us to talk about one very, very hot storyline, which is the situation with James Harden out in Brooklyn, and how that might tie into a potential Ben Simmons trade out in Philly. And so, starting there, first thing, of course, you know, typically we try to start talking the show or start the top of the show with, you know, Lakers, Bulls, you know, our go-to teams, right? One, we'll get to the Bulls in a second because they'll come up as we talk trade deadline and contenders that need to make moves.
Right.
Lakers, however, not a contender, at least not a serious one to me.
Right.
That's my honest outlook, right?
Okay.
However, I feel like Brooklyn has just as much drama, if not more, than the Lakers.
Trouble.
However, the Lakers typically have been the storyline. Am I right?
Correct. One person is trying to make it more about himself than the rest of the Laker team. And I'm talking about the guy that's playing for the Nets right now.
So, James Harden, we'll just hop in here.
Yep.
The other night, I don't know if you got to see his stat line or the game in Sacramento, but it looked a lot like when he was trying to play himself out of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
He had like 4 points, like 2 of 11 from the field or something crazy. He just looked checked out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Made a comment a couple weeks ago that he was upset because he came there to win.
You made me make you look bad.
They're not winning right now. They're in the midst of a 7-game losing streak, I believe, as of today's recording. Just lost again last night. If you're Brooklyn, this clearly is not going the way that you thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why you're now saying that you'll take trade calls for James Harden. My question is this. If you are trading James Harden to Philadelphia and you are Brooklyn then receiving Ben Simmons, who wins in that trade?
Nobody.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, so I thought I was the only person that felt this.
You don't win. It hurts. It's going to hurt Harden more, though. Because it's letting you know that no matter where he goes, he's going to complain.
Well, and I just made the statement on the In the Zone show. I don't think James Harden can be the best player on your team and you are like trying to make a championship run. Now, granted, he goes to Philly. I think Embiid is the better player, right?
Mm-hmm.
I also don't think that that's the best fit in terms of like – what James Harden does well, or what he needs in order to do well, is the ball in his hands.
Yep.
This year, Embiid has warranted, hey, no, feed me. Like, I saw a stat last night. I believe last night was Embiid's 300th career game. Only two players in NBA history through 300 career games have averaged 25 points and 10 rebounds. That is Joel Embiid and Shaquille O'Neal. Or, I'm sorry, not in NBA history, since the merger. Sorry, let me backtrack that a little bit. But, again, the last, you know, 35 years or so, those are the only two players to do that. I think what Philly needs is to, while they may not like it, take one of those deals for Simmons where you get a couple pieces back that you know fit around Joel and what you're trying to do both now and the rest of his career, and try to go win that way as opposed to putting an unhappy superstar in a situation that's already not the greatest.
Yeah, on both ends.
Now, we on the flip side of that, you're going to send Ben Simmons to a shit show Brooklyn team that has a part-time Kyrie,
yep,
and a Kevin Durant that is currently hurt, and a bunch of role guys that really can't get it done anymore. Blake Griffin over the hill.
Damn!
Patty Mills has looked good. You know,
he's had to.
But they've had to rely on Patty Mills in a way that Patty Mills just doesn't need to be relied on at this stage of his career.
Okay, I look at it from the Harden situation. Harden was always meant to be the guy when he was in Houston.
Yep.
But did not mind fading to a number two because he didn't want to take the fault,
right,
for a lot of the stuff that happened throughout his time there. Now, he's saying that because he feels like, in my mind, while in Brooklyn, I'm not supposed to be the guy here.
What happened to that boy? What happened to that boy?
Right.
I need them to feed for me.
Yeah, he's like, basically looking at it like, hey, I need Kevin and Kyrie here 100% of the time. Because that's what this was all supposed to be about. It's supposed to be easier on all of us, right?
Right.
And granted, when it's just been him or just been him and one other guy, he's played exceptionally well, at least by the numbers, you know, if you look at those.
Right.
I think the problem is, though, you have, again, he didn't expect Kyrie to only be playing half the time. And he probably thought that the rest of the team would be better equipped to sustain a Kevin Durant injury or a James Harden injury, and they're just not built to do that. So,
no,
I think both of these teams are in a little bit of a lose-lose situation, regardless of how all of this plays out. Very interested to see if the trade actually happens. I don't think that it'll happen this quickly, but going into next year, Brooklyn probably is only going to have Kevin Durant.
At this point,
they're probably gonna trade James Harden, and as of right now, I think Kyrie Irving does not have his extension signed. Which, I mean,
right? He's making them. The Nets are making themselves look bad.
You made me make you look bad.
Except Kevin Durant. Well, you know what? Even Kevin Durant's making himself look bad because you had an opportunity, and I think it was Stephen A. That man said it on First Take. You wanted to go to Brooklyn to prove that you were the guy.
Right.
That you could lead a team to a championship and help be built upon.
Right.
You chose to go to Brooklyn. You made that choice. You could have stayed in Golden State right now. Could have had a run of 4, 5, maybe 6 titles. And I know I may be spitballing a bit, but they could have had a nice little dynasty run.
Yeah.
And even though Draymond is down right now, Klay coming back, you could have something special going on right now. But you chose to do Brooklyn. You even sat a year away from it. That's your choice. So all three of them are making that Nets franchise look horrible.
Well, and again, kudos to Kevin Durant because at the end of the day, when he was on the court this year, he was an MVP level. He was playing at an MVP level.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can only imagine what's going through his head as far as, damn, like, these are the guys I chose to sign up with.
Damn!
Kyrie, again, my man is sitting half the time because, of course, the vaccination status. Again, his choice. Not saying that he needs to be forced to go get the vaccine, whatever, but at the same time, you got to know that's going to have consequences for the rest of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And James Harden also, I mean, he came into the season out of shape like he did last year. And, you know, suffered a little bit through that, hamstring injuries, things like that. So Brooklyn is a mess. But we'll see if the trade actually happens as far as James Harden getting out of there. Again, I don't see him being back in Brooklyn next year the way things are looking. I don't really see Kyrie being back there.
He's stuck.
Yeah.
He's literally stuck, and he's going to have to deal with that. Like, and then when you get into the playoffs, please, if you're trying to get to the next spot or stay, you better show your ass in the playoffs. Like, you're going to literally have to turn it up, because who want to just see regular season James Harden and then, you know, in the playoffs he don't show up at all? Who going to want that on their next team?
Well, and to be honest, if Kevin Durant is playing at this level, he's going to have something to say about James Harden kind of slumming it through the playoffs.
Keep playing, he's going to be playing in Sacramento.
Right. I thought that's where Ben Simmons was going, but nice little segue to a team that I also have heard a few rumors about this week, Sacramento, where, you know, they're talking about De'Aaron Fox potentially being traded for Julius Randle. Another trade that I kind of see as a lose-lose. Just saying.
Yeah. When you see something like that, that means you lose a front court piece for the Knicks that you said that was part of your core and to build upon a future with, and you're going to give that up and send it down to Sacramento and then get another guard. Okay, listen, Tibbs ain't Chicago with Donovan. We looked at that whole situation that's going on in Chicago, and I have to bring that up because if you look at what the team is now, they are, if you looked at the starting lineup, it was 6'6 and above when the season began.
Right.
But they had no big men, 6'9, 6'10, other than Nikola.
Right.
That's it. So, but they were able to play around that because that's the system that Billy Donovan want to work. That ain't going to work there in New York.
Nah.
Tibbs is defensive-minded more than anything. He wants to score. But he's more defensive-minded. Unless De'Aaron Fox is going to sit down in a defensive stands, brother, you don't make that move.
No, and the problem for both teams is, I think, Sacramento, they could have traded De'Aaron Fox before now. Like, he's still the same player he was, I'd say, you know, 2 years ago.
You made him your piece, your franchise piece.
You signed him to the extension, and then had the gift of all gifts, Tyrese Halliburton drops to you in the draft. The one thing that never happens for Sacramento, where they actually have the good player drop to them. I guess except for when they took Marvin Bagley over Luka Doncic, but we'll save that for another time.
I know where they was going with that, though.
Yeah, and you try to put multiple guards together, guys that can play together. I just think right now they're looking at it and saying, well, hey, Tyrese might be the better player. And I don't think that getting a Julius Randle, if you're them, is going to be the thing that pushes them up in the West. Like, they've missed the playoffs now 15 going on 16 years.
So you telling me right now they kind of in a situation that Washington once was with Bradley Beal and John Wall.
I think it's worse than that. At least with Bradley Beal and John Wall, they got to the second round and were in a game 7 that could have gotten them to the Eastern Conference Finals. Sacramento hasn't been in the playoffs.
Right.
You're trading a quote-unquote star that you signed to a max deal that hasn't produced at that level for another guy who just got signed to a pretty big extension. I don't think it was a max, but a guy who got signed to a pretty big extension, and the best thing that he's done is losing the first round.
Right. And right now as we're sitting, you know, they're 2.5 games out of that 10th seed. I can't believe I'm actually saying that, but –
I mean,
to jump in the play-in tournament.
I guess the play-in would be a win for them, but at the same time, is Julius Randle moving the needle like that for you? I don't think so.
When you got another big in Marvin Bagley, you know, and I understand he's had moments where he's been injured and whatnot, but at the same time, it's like you got Halliburton, you got Fox, you got Bagley. Y'all should be able to work with that.
Well, problem is Bagley has been a little bit of a disappointment since they drafted. Also, again, you took him over Luka Doncic and Trae Young. You talk about getting your guards.
That's the thing, though. I wouldn't have took Trae Young in that draft because I got De'Aaron Fox.
True. But, again, also looking at it, just, again, hindsight is 2020. You, out of all of the guys that went top 5, you got the worst one.
Luka could have been like Turgaloo. If he was drafted with the Kings, he's in a good situation in Dallas where he got great mentorship by Dirk before he retired. You know what I'm saying? you wouldn't have had that. They would have had to put everything on Luka right away.
But see, I counterpoint to that, I don't think the teams that Luka has had since he's been in Dallas have been great around him. Like, they haven't had any other, they haven't had any other legitimate stars. They haven't had any other all-stars. Like, they have a bunch of role guys and Luka, and he's been able to get them to the playoffs basically every year except his rookie year.
But see, and that's how the NBA works. I know this is the culture of the NBA has changed and whatnot, but that's how I've always felt that an NBA team should be. Is you got a superstar, you got role players that can either, they can be tweeners between all-stars and not being that. They're good enough. And then you got your bench players and role players, six men's, whatnot, and you can get into the playoffs with that group. Granted, they don't have championship contenderships. No. And that's what's going to be the crazy thing for Luka down the road. As long as if they don't make no changes, Mark Cuban ain't making nothing happening other than having Kidd come over as coach, they ain't going nowhere.
Well, we'll transition to Dallas now, too, because I do want to hit on them in this sport, because I think they are a trade away from possibly jumping up into that conversation with, like, Phoenix, Golden State, and Memphis. Because, one, Luka is that special. Like, if you think about it, we've seen Luka go into the playoffs, and it just so happens that he's had the worst possible matchup that the Mavericks could get in both of those playoffs playing against the Clippers with. You basically telling me, okay, I can throw Kawhi, Paul George, Marcus Morris, and all these guys at you from a defensive standpoint. And, again, it hasn't mattered in terms of his numbers, but he's also had to – he's had to put out a lot of energy just for them to win one, two, you know, and I guess last year three games to try to push the series. Whereas if he had some additional help that I think they could possibly go get him this year, that changes things.
Mm-hmm.
Porzingis obviously has not always been healthy, has not been in the lineup the last few games.
I still can't trust him.
Can't trust him. He has now, granted, when he's been on the floor this year, he's been great. But it's always about when rather than if in terms of the next Porzingis injury.
And right now, even with Dallas' situation, I think they got something better at the point guard position with Jalen Brunson.
Now, with Jalen Brunson, though, they have to pay him this offseason. And, again, love what Jalen Brunson is doing. I'm not sure that giving Jalen Brunson, you know, 4 or 5 years and $100 million is going to be the long-term answer to winning next to Luka.
He's going to need a piece next to him. You know what I'm saying? We just sat here and said, he don't have that. And as much as Jalen, if Jalen continues to emerge as he has been, then maybe that'd be that help part of the help that Luka needs.
Now, personally, I don't think they have enough to go get Sabonis from Indiana.
That would be nice, though.
But if you compare him and Luka some way, somehow, I think that's dangerous in terms of their ability to be able to contend out west. The other team out west that we talked about a little bit before the show was Memphis.
Correct.
Memphis, as much as you could probably say they're a trade away from being a serious contender, I wouldn't mess with it this year.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't mess with it. Let Ja and those boys run and do their thing. If they get to a Western Conference Finals or maybe even an NBA Finals, great. But if not, again, you play with house money. And you evaluate yourself, you know, going forward based on, you know, what you do this year. And I think there are trades for them to make, but I also don't know that there are trades that are going to move the needle for them enough to where it also means that they should disrupt the chemistry that they already have.
Right. Why should it matter? Because at right now, as we sitting, you're not going to move the needle on Phoenix. You're not going to move the needle on Golden State. So you good actually right where you are being in one of those top three positions. Because you got to remember, the top three are automatically getting home games for the playoffs.
Well, and I think, like, from a matchup standpoint, right, I don't necessarily think I like them against Phoenix. I'll take my chances if I'm Memphis against Golden State. Like, granted, it's not the exact same team that you faced in the playoff. I mean, not the playoffs, the play-in last year. But pretty close to it. Yeah, they have Clay back. You know, a lot of their other guys are playing at a high level right now. But Memphis is deep enough to be able to swing with Golden State in a playoff series. I do think that having a healthy Klay and having a healthy Draymond and potentially a healthy Wiseman kind of takes them over the edge if you're the Warriors. But we've seen stranger things happen.
Right, and like you said, seeing Memphis at three would be perfect for them.
Yeah.
Because then you have a better chance. If everything were sitting right where we are now, they would have a chance at playing. Let's see who the sixth seed is right now. Playing the Nuggets.
I'll take my chance.
Especially
with the Nuggets not having Jamal Murray.
And then take my chance against the Warriors.
Right.
Because Phoenix right now, I'm hoping that they learned everything from last year, because there was no way that they should have lost that series against the Bucks. None.
No, they had the series in hand. Now, for them, if I'm Phoenix, I'm looking for a backup point guard, because I don't think you can trust campaign.
I need somebody to give me a bucket if needed.
So like for instance, Boston, right? They might trade Dennis Schroeder. I would love to get him if I'm Phoenix, because at the end of the day, that when he played his best basketball, it was with Chris Paul in OKC. And it's a role where it fits him a lot more than the situation in Boston right now. So, like, that would be a target for me if I'm Phoenix, just to kind of really solidify myself for that deep playoff run that we plan to make. I think they can make the finals without any additional moves, but if I were making a move as the Suns GM, that would kind of be what I'm looking at right there.
Yeah, I see right now, if they do go after Dennis, you're going to have to move Cam and another person, too.
That's fine. I'll drive Cam to the airport.
the other person, too? Because I think it's not going to be one for one. It's going to be two for one.
Well, we'll see. But I think backup point guard doesn't necessarily have to be Schroeder. I think backup point guard kind of needs to be the focus area for them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, again, honestly, Golden State, Phoenix, Memphis, they don't have to do anything the rest of the season. They don't have to do anything in terms of trade moves, roster moves, whatever. Maybe a buyout guy here and there or something like that. But mm-hmm. I think when it's all said and done, one of those three teams is coming out of the West.
Mm-hmm.
Done. The East is a little bit more fluid in terms of any one of those teams can make a move and separate from the others. So, like,
Granted,
Milwaukee's probably not making any moves, because I don't know what they have to trade. But I could see Miami maybe getting frisky, getting into the buyout market, maybe not a full-blown trade. Philly's probably going to do something, even if it's not Ben Simmons. They just got to make sure they got Embiid enough help so that when they get into the playoffs, they can make a realistic run. Again, I don't think James Harden's the move for them, but they could make some moves around the edges where they kind of vault themselves from one of the teams in the mix to potentially – the favorite in that same conversation with the Bulls.
No question.
So, Charlotte, we kind of mentioned on the In the Zone show as well. Look, they are one of my favorite teams to watch. I think if they get a center, they can kind of get themselves back up into that top half. Don't think they're a championship contender, but there's a move for them to be made, especially if, you know, Portland continues what they're doing and trading off all of their pieces. Indiana has talked about trading Miles Turner, Sabonis. I don't think they have enough for Sabonis, maybe Turner. But they have to do something at center right now, because Mason Plumlee and whoever else they're playing at center is not cutting it. It's just not happening.
No.
So I think that covers most of the teams that I had in mind. Oh, of course, we said Lakers. Look, the Russell Westbrook, whether they trade him or not, there's no championship going to L.A. this year.
You already came down to that. Wait, conclusion.
Look, that you are who you are at some point, right?
Yeah.
We're, I think, for the Lakers, 51 games in, they're three games below 500. Granted, you know, AD's been hurt. LeBron has had, you know, some games recently that he's been out. But at the end of the day, you're below 500 team.
Father time is creeping up on LeBron, man.
You know, and we'll close with this. I made a Facebook status.
Yeah.
A few weeks back, where I'm not quoting this verbatim, but all in all, I basically said that the LeBron James experience as a Laker fan has been a little bit overrated.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, my LeBron fan friends got on me a little bit, like, oh, you know, what, the championship don't mean nothing to you. Yes, but at the same time, the Lakers are not one of those franchises where it's like a happy to be here mentality. Yeah, we won a championship. We expect to win one.
I want more.
Where's the rest of them?
I want more.
And if you look at it, this is now year four of LeBron being in L.A. First year was a little bit of a wash because he got hurt.
Yep.
And also, I mean, they were just rolling him out with the young guys. Granted, at different points it looked good, but he got hurt. They fell out the playoff race. It is what it is. Second year, boom, win a championship in the bubble. LeBron and AD take over. Okay, cool. Last year, bounced out in the first round.
Whitewashed.
Bounced out in the first round. And this year, probably getting bounced out in the first round. Unless
– play it.
Yeah, if we get there. And again, I don't – like, the whole Russell Westbrook experiment been a little bit of a mess. At this point, figure it out in the offseason. This season, you're not winning the championship anyway. Figure it out in the offseason. And don't worry about trying to just make a panic move at the trade deadline because you're not good enough to win right now.
What Shaq said about Westbrook is true. Dude, slow down.
Yeah.
I like his game, man, because he likes to play full speed ahead. But also, sir, you are not that fast anymore. Slow down.
Yeah, he's kind of hitting that point that the athletic point guard hits where, you know, once that starts to slip a little bit, it goes downhill fast, man. So we'll see how that the Lakers season plays out. I don't have high hopes for it, but we'll see how it plays out, just like we will the rest of the NBA season. And of course, also in my Facebook endeavors here, memory came up on my timeline this week of our mailbag episode from last year. The mailbag will be coming back at some point.
You got to bring the mailbag.
Don't know when it's coming back just yet, but the mailbag is coming back.
I can't wait for it, man.
Hey, but until next time, this has been episode of the Price Check Podcast here on the In The Zone Network. Always a pleasure. All this in the A-Train Lane.
Yes, sir.
The best producer in show business. and until next time, y'all, this is Josh Price checking out.